You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to 15 Minute Friday. Easy to implement business tips for busy people who want to learn more and do better in the shortest amount of time possible. On 15 Minute Friday, I talk to the most extraordinary business people to provide actionable insights in about 15 minutes. Today, we're talking with Chris Felton. He is an Amazon best-selling author, a seven-figure entrepreneur, and founder of Principal of his own financial services firm. With his latest book, kick-ass book, I'm looking forward to everybody reading this, and speaking series, Think and Grow You, Chris is focused on helping driven entrepreneurs break through plateaus in their growth by learning how to get out of their own way and take their success, peace, and impact to the next level. Chris, I'm excited for this conversation. It's going to be fun.
Big Ben, this is going to be awesome. Thanks for having me, brother.
Dude, I'm excited. And this is so random, but I always ask people one thing that isn't in the bio that you'd like people to know. I might ask you this in a second, but one thing I wanted to mention that isn't in the bio, I noticed the Ed Milet show. A lot of people know who Ed Milet is. If you don't know Ed Milet, it's in the show notes. He's one of the biggest podcasters, business people, writer out there. You were like his sixth or seventh ever podcast guest when people didn't even know who he was. Tell me about that.
Dude, he was desperate for people. Like he was recording his own thing and like everything shut down and we had to re-record it anyway. No, we've been associates and friends for a long time and I give him crap. I'm like, dude, I closed you on having me on your show, but it was actually me and my wife. We wrote a book called Couples Money and Ed was a fan of it and had us on. So yeah, that was crazy, but like 6 years ago or something like that.
And I'll add that to the show notes. It's a whole nother conversation, but give us the bird's eye view on Couples Money for people that might be interested in that.
Yeah, it just, I was CPA and a financial advisor and broke $250,000 in credit card debt. And my second and last wife walked into a marriage of what appeared to be successful. All right, I was really good, Ben, at fooling her. And, you know, given pretty speeches on success, but I'd gone through a really crazy expensive divorce and she walked into a nightmare that she did not know when we got married. Cause I kept it from her. And, the book is about how we were having the blowout of all blowouts and it could have went the direction that most marriages would have went. But it didn't, we decided to stay together and she got on planes, trains, and automobiles and interviewed, wealthy couples that had wealth in every area of their life, not just money. And then it was my story of transformation on how I needed to remake my whole belief system around money, because based on how broke I was, I had a poverty consciousness, even though it was, I'm a CPA and financial advisor. So it's really about how we came together as a couple, set some unifying goals together, worked together and transformed our world, not just financially, but you know, me personally had a major transformation in all areas of my life. So that's the book.
Wow. I'm hooked. I almost want to pivot the whole conversation and talk about that, but we're going to fast forward to Think and Grow You because I know that's new and relevant. And I always like to ask a guest for like a tweetable, a quote, something to put on the wall. I know you probably have a lot to select from because your book's full of meaty, powerful quotes. But what can we start the conversation with? What quote comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's in my introduction, and it's actually from an author named Jeff Shore. Unbelievable. A guy wrote a book called Be Bold and Win the Sale. It's a horrible title for a phenomenal book, and it's his quote. It's, a life spent seeking comfort results in an entirely uncomfortable existence.
Life spent seeking comfort results in a – repeat it.
A life spent seeking comfort – results in an entirely uncomfortable existence.
I always like to repeat it to let it settle down. What does that mean to you? Why did you start your masterpiece with that quote?
Because the masses, the middle class, are addicted to being comfortable. And, you know, with that addiction comes, I mean, well over 90% of people in the richest country on the planet, the United States, retire broke. Divorces are at 60%. People's health, I mean, it's just, it's a mess. And the pandemic shined a halogen light on that. You know, I'm in Colorado, and, you know, I know business owners, Ben, just like you, like really talented, successful people, at least they looked like it. And they had 2 weeks worth of savings, you know? So, you know, it's just seeking comfort is, it's dangerous, because as you seek comfort, you decline. And so if we're always doing the comfortable thing, it's not going to get us the life that we deserve.
So we need to seek the opposite, I imagine. Do what's uncomfortable, seek things that make us maybe a little caught off guard. We want to seek the discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, we have to be intentional about growing. And, you know, in nature, trees, grass, flowers, they're either growing or they're in decay. So there's no definition of comfort in nature, right? So by seeking comfort, you're actually in decline. You're actually in decay. And so if you aren't intentional about growing yourself, and, you know, it's just like health. I mean, if you're going to be healthy, you have to do an uncomfortable thing. Body in motion stays in motion. You know, for me, I had to do the uncomfortable stuff of really studying mindset and figuring out how I was creating such a mess in my life. And so, you know, I'm as addicted to comfort. I mean, it's easy to, you know, grab the weapon of mass distraction here and jack around with this and do comfortable things and scroll social media and watch TV and eat cake, and all that comfort is good in the interim, but long term it doesn't serve us. And so we have to be intentional about growing, or you know, our life doesn't end well.
Yeah, we have to be intentional about growing. And I'm sure the book addresses this a million times. What are some of the ways that an average Joe or Jill can start upping their game, get uncomfortable, continue to grow? You made a really interesting point that even if you're just staying plateaued, like, that's a decrease long term. I mean, our bodies are aging, so we want to continue to grow, or else we're going to wither. How do we grow? I mean, it's such a general question, but what are the first things that come to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, the crux of my growth has always been, and it's, you know, it's kind of flavor of the day in the personal development space, but this is, you know, this is 15 years ago. I had to have uninterrupted time carved out every morning. You know, it's called a morning routine or whatever. My coach called it, you know, going to the mental gym, right? People, they, you know, they eat every day, they brush their teeth, they shower. Some people work out physically every day, but most people don't go to the mental gym every single day. And that is uninterrupted time where I read a book, read my Bible, journal, visualize, image, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, even if it's 30 minutes, Ben, that's, you know, 30 minutes, compounded over a year, that's 4.5 working weeks on growing you. It's, you know, it's focused on, you know, there's usually one thing I'm working on that if I stick with it for 70 days, you know, people think I'm like super disciplined. I have created discipline as a habit. And so that time is really important. And when you keep commitments to yourself, that's how you grow your confidence. But if you do that 30 minutes to an hour every single day, man, like compounded over decades, it's transformational. And the other beautiful thing it does, Ben, is I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs listen to you. And have you ever been discouraged?
Oh, yeah. Today.
Yeah. And discouragement, I've watched discouragement wreck a lot of businesses and a lot of lives. And when I wake up, I don't know if you ever wake up in the morning, Ben, but often I wake up in the morning and I'm a little discouraged. Just, I feel that way. Yeah. I can't imagine flying out of my house and going about my day or even hopping on Zoom in this discouraged state. And so encouragement is like a gas tank. And we got to fill it up. So that morning time, like this morning I woke up. I mean, it wasn't sunshine, lollipops, and roses, man. I didn't sleep too good. I just, you know, I'm coming off a book launch and, you know, just it, you always want things to be better than they are. And I spent longer this morning just shifting that mindset to raising my energy to becoming more encouraged. And it's powerful when you have, you know, when you're encouraged, because it takes energy to make your dreams come true. And if you're in resistance and resentment and you're discouraged, it's not a good place to be. So those are things I do.
So, and you mentioned, you know, it compounds. Somewhere in finance, there's compound interest. This is compound encouragement, compound growth. As a finance guy, you might know, this is a random question, but what's the op? So there's compound interest when you're making money. What happens when you're continuing to compound your losses? Because I feel like that's the opposite end of things. You're lazy, you're discouraged, you're struggling. You're going to actually compound negative. What's the term for when you're just continually to lose and you need to cut your losses?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the term. I mean, it's definitely a negative spiral, right? And and it becomes habitual and it becomes a pattern. And the thing with that is, that just kind of happens on its own. If you're not intentional about just like investing, right? It's easy to spend. If you're not intentional about investing in you, it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of negativity and going down that negative spiral. And the longer you stay in that, it's infinitely harder,
right,
to pull yourself out of it. And at some point, I mean, it's in my book. It's one of my chapters. I call it Don't Retreat. And it's a mindset that people have as they get older that they think that retreating is the thing to do. And it's not.
No.
And it takes effort to keep putting yourself out there and to put your, but that's where the juice of life is, man. It's out, you know, everyone says the life you want is outside this bubble of comfort and your comfort zone, but it's really true.
It's true.
And retreating, your ego is not your amigo, right? And your ego is going to say, "Oh no, Ben, just chill. It's all good. You're all..." And you need to have fun and you need to relax, but permanent vacation is not going to satisfy you. The only way you're going to have true fulfillment in life, Ben, is from growing yourself and serving others. End of story. We'll never find it in stuff. You're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Amen to that. I'm gonna ask you to finish the interview in that ego voice. That was great, Chris. I love that. No, but on a serious note, in a moment, we'll go into an action step, some homework for the audience. But before, Think and Grow You. I mean, obviously, people need to go get the book if they want to dive deeper. What's the big purpose? Like, what big takeaway did you want people to get out of that book? Was there a big vision that you want people to get out of it?
Yeah. I mean, the problem the book solves, Ben, is stuck. Mm. And coming out of a crazy last few years, like, people are more stuck than ever. That's why I wrote it. And it's basically my story of how I got really stuck badly in my life, in so many areas of my life. And it's okay to get stuck, but it's not okay to stay there. Right. And the messaging in the book, throughout the book, is we have to humble down right? We got to bring humility to the party. We can't get hung up on our way being the way. We have to be willing to change, because I don't even think it's optional, because you're going to be in decay. You must do the work, and it's all laid out in the book. It's full of action steps and meat of like, what does that look like? And then you must understand that the work that you put in is going to be worth every second that you put into it. Because a lot of people debate that. So humble down, be willing to change, do the work. The work is going to be worth it. That's the messaging throughout the book.
Love it, Chris. All right. So integration, today was a quick hit. I wish I could go deeper, but we can go deeper with the book. We can follow you online, and we can integrate what we learn. So based on this really kind of far-reaching conversation, we could go for days on this. What are like one or two things that you recommend someone write down and begin to implement as early as right now?
Yeah, just think of an area in your life that you don't like the results. You know, for me, it was money. It could be your health. It could be relationships. But just, you know, the example on money, my coach said, you know, get a money journal. And he said, you don't have a money problem anymore, Chris. You have a money project. That was transformational for me.
I like that.
And you say, you don't have a money problem. You have a money project. And I want you to write the word money at the top of the page. And I want you to write down everything you make up about that word. And I share all of it in the book. And it was rich people are crooks. Money, you know, won't make you happy. Rich people, you know, make money on the backs of poor. Like it was such a laundry list of money head trash bin. And I was 37 years old, and it was the first time I ever inventoried what I thought about that. Wow. And when it came out, then I was like, well, it's obvious why I was broke. And I said, I met the enemy, and it is I. and then I wrote a more empowering story and focused on that. And, you know, it's a Mel Robbins quote. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened over time. Things started changing. So the actionable is if there's a result that you don't like, there's you and a thought and a result. Inventory the thinking that is creating that result, and then shift the thoughts one by one. It's work, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. So if anybody's listening and they're like, oh my God, I'm my own worst enemy, I'm my own worst limiting belief, it sounds like you can start making a change right now, and it doesn't have to be that way over time. You can make a big change. I'll add it all to the show notes. What did we miss, Chris? That social platform, website, how else do we keep in touch with you and make a friend?
Websites, chrisfelton.me. That's the best way. Speaking workshops and book. I mean, that's how I'm getting the message out. You can contact me directly through the website. Yep.
Perfect. Chris, thanks for coming on the show. Everybody, reach out to me or Chris if you love this one. Share it to your story. Do the assignment. Because if you want more Chris, I'll have him back for a longer form thing. But regardless, so much value in such a short amount of time, man. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Ben, you're phenomenal. Thanks for having me, brother.